Well, it's a pleasure to be here this morning and to be representing the work of the Gideons, which is a work, as most of you know, is very dear to my heart and Jean's and Clive and Margaret. And so we've got a lot to fit in the time, but we're going to do our best. We're going to see a DVD in a minute, but first of all, I'd like to just share a couple of testimonies with you. As the chairman of the branch at the moment, I receive every Friday what they now call a Gideon's blog. It used to be an email that came directly to share with the folk in the branch. And I came across this one yesterday as I was preparing for this morning. And it's saying that God's word, a welcome comfort to hotel guests. Bibles in bedside drawers are a convenience hotels guests have come to expect. After all, what else could bring as much comfort to a weary traveller as reading God's word? Well, it's debatable, I suppose, on some people, but we know where they're coming from. Each year, Gideon's place over 1 million copies of God's word in hotels throughout the world. And while that number represents just a fraction of more than 84 million scriptures Gideon's placed last year, hotel Bibles are what people think of when they think of the Gideon's International. Gideon's have great working relationships with hotels and motels across the world. Bibles are delivered to hotels by Gideon's, who can also assist in placing the scriptures in the guest rooms. There's no charge to the hotels, as the scriptures are funded through donations to the Gideons. Some hotel guests find such comfort from the Bible, they pack it up with them as they leave. And if having that copy of God's word helps someone continue on their journey with Christ, the Gideons rejoice. A single copy of God's word in a hotel room has the potential to touch up to 2,300 lives during the 6-year lifespan. Over the years, we've received many testimonies from individuals who checked into a hotel and, as a result of reading a Bible placed there by the Gideons, came to a saving knowledge of Jesus, Christ. Some of these testimonies were from people who had checked into a room when they felt all hope was lost, only to discover the peace and joy that comes from surrendering to Jesus. And I'd just like to, as a result of that, share this very quick testimony. Dear sir, I have been up for over 24 hours and I just walked into my hotel room. I've done 5 beverage services, 2 meal services on my way from Miami to London. And my first thought when I walked into my room was, is there a Gideon Bible in my bedside drawer? I have been a flight attendant for almost 40 years. In each city where I spend the night, I have always counted on having the Gideon Bible in my hotel room and have not been disappointed. I do not know if you have ever thought about the thousands of flight attendants you have ministered to in all these hotel rooms for all these years since aviation began. Having God's word in each room is an amazing miracle, and I, for one, cannot say thank you enough. I know of no other organization in the world that fulfills Matthew 28:19-20 better than the Gideons. God has blessed your efforts, and they have been such an inspiration to me. You have blessed countless flight attendants who have many homes away from home and can always count on his word to be there. Melanie, Miami. So I must confess that when I read that again, you know, it's something you don't think of, is it? You know, when you travel, I mean, nobody would know that better than Tim, all the travelling he does. But, you know, when you travel and these people look after you, and then you see them coming off, dragging their little case you don't think of the fact that the Gideons are doing a great work. And so I'd like you to put into your prayers the fact that the Hilton Hotels have made it a decree, as it were, from the CEO and the top brass that they are taking the Bibles out of the Hilton. Now, there's been a little bit of movement on it, and it apparently, it's my latest understanding is that a lot is down to the managers of the hotels, but they are all over the world, and thousands of hotels, and so if you could pray that the Lord will indeed overrule on that one. I've yet to go. I've got to go across to the Pucker Up and find out what's happening there. So we could do that. Anyway, today, of course, is, as I say, about the Bible. And so I'm going to hand over now to Clive, who's going to... we're going to see a DVD, so he can tell us about it. Thanks, Clive.
Right. Only to say, the purpose of this DVD is... threefold, really. One, it shows us what young people in the streets are saying, in this case about the Bible. Secondly, it illustrates what the Gideons are all about, really, introducing people to the Bible, certainly, but mainly introducing them to the author and introducing them to the main character in the story, if you like, to Jesus himself. Thirdly, many of you will know that we are thinking of doing an Alpha course in the Village Hall later this year, and we're praying about that, and this will remind us, this is just one clip from one of the DVDs of the Alpha course, so we would ask you to pray about that, and pray too about this Hilton Hotel up the road, that they will continue to have the Bibles on display there. Thank you, Donald.
Have I ever read the Bible?
No.
I haven't read the Bible.
For my own reasons, no.
I've skimmed it.
I have read the Bible. I kind of looked at little segments, but I've never actually attempted to read the whole thing.
It's not advertised enough, but I didn't go to church, so the time when I do read it is when I'm in church, but other than that, like, I don't have a copy of the Bible.
They're interesting stories, like as a guide for people how to live, not necessarily taken literally.
I thought it was daunting.
It's been a long time, so I don't really remember everything.
Story of Adam and Eve.
Yeah, Adam and Eve.
Like stories about Jesus and his life.
Up there, of course, the Genesis.
I don't know the difference between sort of like the different books and stuff, but I do know Genesis is the first one. Or is that an argument? I don't know.
My father was 49 when he got married. So I think I was around the age of 21, and he was about 73, when he told me that he wanted to go and see Russia before he died. At that time, it was the Soviet Union, and I had recently become a Christian, and I knew that it was very hard to be a Christian in Russia. There were very few churches that weren't banned, and Bibles were pretty much disallowed, and it was very hard to get hold of a Bible in Russia. So I thought, well, this is an opportunity to take some Bibles into Russia. I'll smuggle some Bibles into Russia. So I wrote to an organization which I knew smuggled Bibles, and I said, I'm going into Russia, here's some money, please could you send me some Bibles, and I'd like to take them into with me. And I got a reply which said, so sorry, it's illegal to take Bibles into Russia, we can't supply you with them, and we recommend that you don't take any. That was the official reply. The following day, on the doorstep, there was this brown paper package with Russian Bibles in it. So, feeling like James Bond 007, we set off, and I thought, right, I've got to give these to people who are real Christians. So I went to one of the very few churches that was allowed, and I knew there would be lots of spies there, so I looked for somebody who I thought looked like a genuine Christian. And I saw this man who was in his 60s, and he had a radiant face. I followed him out of church. I followed him to a totally isolated spot. And then I got out of my, I just pulled out of my jacket this whole Russian Bible on very thin paper, and I handed it to him. His face was just a picture. He took out of his pocket a New Testament that was totally threadbare. It had been read over and over again. It was probably 100 years old. Lots of the pages were missing. When he saw a whole Russian Bible, he was so excited. He was jumping up and down with joy. He didn't speak a word of English. I didn't speak a word of Russian. But we were hugging each other and just celebrating there on the street. Why was he so excited? For many people today, they think, a Bible, that's so dull. It's boring. It's kind of full of contradictions. It's just a rule book, no relevance to my life in the 21st century. So why was he so excited? Do you know the Bible is the most popular book in the world? It's the most successful literary creation of all time. Every year, over 100 million Bibles are sold or given away. So it's the bestseller this year. It was the bestseller last year. It's the bestseller every year. In fact, practically every week, the Bible is the bestseller. If it was put into bestseller lists, every week it would be the Bible. That's why they didn't put it in. It'd be so boring. What's the bestseller this week? The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the most popular book in the world. It's the most powerful book in the world. One former prime minister described the Bible as like high explosive. I've told you before, it had a profound effect on my life. It changed my life, reading the Bible. It's the most precious book in the world. The psalmist describes the words of God as being more precious than gold. The queen at her coronation was handed a copy of the Bible with these words. We present you with this book, the most valuable thing which this world affords. Why? Well, Jesus said this. People do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, Jesus says this. Material things alone don't satisfy. Even the best human relationships don't ultimately satisfy. There's always this, what you might call a spiritual hunger, which can only be satisfied by something spiritual. And Jesus says that is the words that come out of God's mouth. And the primary way in which God communicates with us is through this book. God has spoken. It's his revelation. Sometimes people say, if there's a God, why doesn't he show himself to us? Why doesn't he reveal himself? And the answer is, he has. God has revealed himself, first of all, in creation. The fact that we're here. The fact that there's something rather than nothing. The fact that this universe is so amazing and finely tuned. The fact that there is this hunger in every human heart that searches after God. But supremely, God has revealed himself in a person. We've looked at that. He's revealed himself in Jesus. That's the ultimate revelation of God. But how do we know about Jesus? We only know about Jesus because of this book. The New Testament, of course, is all about Jesus. And the Old Testament, actually, when you look at it through the lens of Jesus, is also about Jesus. So,
a lot more, but there isn't time.
I see. I thought something gone wrong with a DVD then. Right. We're used to losing sometimes the words, but on the screen, there we are. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to this Alpha course. I've never done a full Alpha course, and so Gene and I have done bits at the beginning and bits at the end, but somehow things have got in the middle and we've never been able to complete one. And having seen that Thursday was a Clive, when he came round, we agreed that it was ideal. As I was sitting there this morning, I was thinking, you know, he's been listening to some of our talks when we go to the schools, because some of the stuff that he was talking about on there is the stuff that we share with the children at school. So I thought, I know that we're all clued up here on when it comes to Gideon's. You're a very supporting church, but I thought, well, I'm not being fair to my colleagues in the branch if I don't just bring you very quickly up to where we are. So I made a few phone calls yesterday and checked through minutes and goodness knows what. And very quickly, you'll see there's a nice display on the on the table there. So if you want to have a look at what we're doing, then come and have a look. First one, of course, I've studied up, is the Hotel Bible. Everybody knows the Hotel Bible. And usually when I go to a school or wherever, I say, right, where have you seen this? And the answer I get 99 times out of 100 is in a church. Well, it is in a church today. But I say, well, that's not where it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be in a hotel bedroom. And I'm sure that, I hope many of you do, when you go in there, as Christians, we take our own Bibles anyway, but we always check that there's a Bible there and ask them about it. So last year, and when I'm saying last year, I'm talking about from about summertime up to now. We in the branch have been privileged to distribute 600 of these Bibles. I haven't got the figures of how much they cost, but they're roughly about £3 each of the so, you know, we've had a lot, but the Lord's provided, and we put 500 into the National Fire College Halls of Residence. They've been rebuilt, and they wanted us to replace them. And so 500 went in there, and I think there's still a few around in the branch. I've certainly got a few in my garage for use, but all told, we've done 600. Schools, I didn't pick the little red testaments up. You're all familiar with the little red testament that's what we're noted for, isn't it? To date, we've ordered 1,400, of which we've still got 500 awaiting delivery, presentation, whatever. Tewkesbury School, you can pray about that. They still haven't come back to us. We think they will. If I can get a chance to see Graham Sharp when I'm in there, I'll see if I can pull his coattails. But we don't normally go in there anyway until this term sometime. And also we're going into Alderman Knight shortly, and there's two or three schools that are waiting to go in. We're doing pretty well as a branch in our schools. Badge testaments. Now, these are a new adventure that we've got. I don't know whether any of you have seen these. The inside is exactly the same as they get in the Red Testament. It's just the cover. But, you know, kids love to have things that they think are sort of relevant to them. And the Gideons have come on board with this. And there's the Boys Brigade logo on the front. And we've been with them and we've presented in, I think it's two churches that run Boys Brigade. Yeah, two it is. We've presented 48 of those. So you can, and they were really pleased to receive that. Jean and I went to the Abbey to present, though, and there's one group in Cheltenham that Bob went to. Girls Brigade, which is, I think, is relatively new compared with the Boys Brigade, but maybe my facts are not so good on that. But it's only in the last probably 50 years that I've been aware of them, whereas as a boy, I was aware of the Boys Brigade. We've given out 81 of those testaments. There's four groups in our area, and Jean and I did two in Tewkesbury, and there's one in Cheltenham and one in Cirencester. So we've been able to give away 81 of those. Again, all taken very happily. And the other one is the this little green fellow. This is the Boy Scouts. And Clive ordered 100 of those for a group that were on his camped on his land. And I'm presuming they took them all, did they, Clive? So, you know, you can rejoice with us over those. Universities, that's my baby. And we were able to distribute 300 at Gloucester University in September. And then in early October, we went to the Royal Agricultural University, had a lovely time there, and we got rid of 220 of the green one. The green one is down there, it's a green back one. Hotels, well, in actual fact, I don't mean hotels, it's me doing a cut and paste, isn't it? I mean hospitals. Hospitals, there's three different kinds of testaments now. I've got a copy of each one on there. If you've been in hospital, you should have found on the side of your bed a hard-backed testament. Different shape to most of them. But it's... There's been problems over the years with infection control and all this, and they've used all sorts of excuses why we shouldn't take them in. So they came up with a new idea because they brought out a new testament, still the same inside, but it's got a very soft cover, rather like the little red testament. And they were for psychiatric units and the like, because apparently the people in those places used them as weapons. And, of course, if a hardback book hit you in the eye or something, do a lot of damage. Well, they don't do quite so much damage with a soft cover on. And the latest that they do is they shrink wrap them. And the idea of the shrink wrapped one is that that's yours personally. And then the idea is that you put it in your case when you're going home and take it with you. And then they ring us up and they say, you don't bring us some more. So we continue as a branch to be called upon to top up these things as they go. I delivered six Bibles the other day to Cheltenham Hospital for the chaplaincy, for the actual chapel, use in the chapel. So we are still being used, and although the Gideons have not had the best press by some people over the last year or two, but we're still doing a wonderful work. And I've just been having some dental work done. Got to go back on Monday, and I thought, you know, I've never seen a Bible in our dentist surgery. Well, he is, I don't know what you'd say, he's an Oriental type of gentleman. Very nice fellow now we've got to know him. And I wondered what his reaction would be if I asked him. So I thought, right, I'll ask his secretary or his receptionist, who I seem to get on quite well with. So I said to her, I said, I'm a Gideon, you know. I said, Gene and I are Gideons. I said, and we noticed that you haven't got a Gideon Bible in the waiting room. So she said, no, nobody's ever asked us what we like one. I said, well, I'm asking you. So I said, would Mr. Ramper, whatever his name is, be against us having one? She said, I don't think so. So I said, right, well, next time I come, I said, I'll bring one. So, and I said, what about the staff? So it's going to be my pleasure and privilege to take a hotel Bible in Monday or Tuesday, whenever it is I've got to go, and five of the navy blue, the narrow testaments, and give them one each. So you can pray about that, and that they'll all accept one. So that's the up-to-date where we are with the with our testaments and our Bibles. One more testimony, because, you know, when I did my training for being a, Gideon to do the speaking, the big thing that they came up with was you've got to give testimonies. People want to hear testimonies. They're not so much interested in facts and figures, but they want to hear testimonies. And one came over Easter. And it's, you know, when I was, before we left Kent, I was very concerned there were no Gideons left in the Gravesham area. Again, Medway is a big area, and most of the Gideons are in the sort of the other side of the Medway. And so I spent quite a number of days visiting all the clergy and all the church leaders that I knew through the churches together, and trying to get Gideons coming into the branch, which we were relatively successful with, I thank the Lord for. But one of the churches, it was a very modern church. Sheep stolen most of the young people from the other churches. So we went to see this young pastor. And I had Stuart with us from the Gideons. And I was glad he was with me. But and then we got a tirade of how old-fashioned we Gideons are. We're not in the 21st century at all, you know, and all the rest of it. Well, interestingly, I got this blog the other day, and it says, sharing the gospel with the Gideon Bible app. So, you know, I haven't got the Gideon Bible app on my phone yet, but I must get one. But, and so they've come up with this application, and I just want to share this testimony, which is very interesting. Took place in Australia. As you know, we're international. We work in over 200 countries. And it says how good it is to share the word of God. Yesterday, a businessman got into a taxi in Victoria, Australia. He got chatting to the driver, as you do sometimes. "Good day, mate. How are you going?" It turns out that the driver was from Ethiopia and he was studying here. "You know, would you like to hear something really cool? What's your native language?" "Amharic," was the driver's response. From his smartphone, in just a few seconds, the businessman found the Gideon Bible app and went to the audio for John 3. "Could you listen to this and see what you think?" To his amazement, the driver then heard the Bible in his own language. Wow! What a smile on his face after hearing the gospel this way. It was so good, the driver immediately wanted this new talking Bible. So the Gideon Bible app was shared in a second through the text link as they travelled along the freeway. The driver said he had an Orthodox background, but said he was not confident of his salvation. The good news was shared, and the driver shared his yearning to read and learn more from the Bible, and a prayer was offered at the drop-off point. Later that day, the Gideon was in Perth on his business trip, and he received a text from his new driving buddy. "I would like to thank God for sending you in my life. I'm receiving today in my life powerful word. No, God speaks to me. Thanks. It was encouraging and touched me. Thank you." So, Clive, we've got to get more with it on technology and have our smartphones with the Bible app on. So, but it's great, isn't it, to hear. And you know what I should do? I should send a copy of that over to this pastor, shouldn't I, in Gravesend, who thinks that we're not with him. Right. I think I've covered everything now. Yeah, just the epilogue very quickly. One other thing, I don't know how many of you are friends. I've never been the friends secretary. I know Pat's a friend. Harry and Pat were active friends. And I know Donald and Sally are. But I don't know about anybody else. If you'd like to become a friend of the Gideons, we'd really appreciate it. Because the main thing is that you pray for us. And, you know, we're not really after your money. We are in a way, but that's how we fund all these scriptures, you see. But, no, Twinning Chapel is a very good giver as far as the Gideon's concerned and other places as well. But, you know, you'd get one of these magazines every quarter. and you get up-to-date news, and then once a year, well, we treat you to something like a cream tea if you come over to, we seem to be using Boughton on the Water. It's a lovely drive out in May, and, you know, we have sometimes we have a speaker, sometimes we just report on what's gone on, and generally we have a lovely time. And two of our Gideons are retired bakers. Our boy, do they put on a wonderful spread for us. So it's worth going for that. So, you know, if you'd like to become a friend, just have a word with Clive or I, and we'd be only too pleased to do it. And looking round, you know, there are some very eligible men in this church who it would be great to have fellowship with you in the Gideon branch as well as in the chapel. So, you know, need I say more? You know, pray about it. And if the Lord touches your heart, well, we'll do so. Right. Well, as we've just seen in our DVD, the Bible is the world's bestseller. It still is, and it's not just a book, is it? I always sort of ask this to the young people, you know, is it this a book? And they say it's a book. Well, it is a book in a way, but in another way, if you've been in my line of business, you know it's not just a book, it's a volume, because it's made up of 66 books. And it's a wonderful book that we all love. And apparently, I went through checking this yesterday, and there's about 40 authors in the... I was going through the back. Some of the Old Testament books, they're not sure who actually wrote them. But of the ones that they are pretty sure who wrote, I got to 39. So there's about 40 authors in there. And if we'd seen a bit more of that DVD, Nicky Gumbel makes the point that all these people... were, in actual fact, they were just ordinary people like you and I. And God spoke to them, and they put down what they felt was, and they wrote their book. But it was inspired by God himself, because it is God's word. That's what we say, isn't it? Let me just read Psalm 12. And I'm reading it in the New Living Translation, that's right. As I was studying yesterday, I was using the two. And, you know, it just gives a different slant on some of the scriptures and brings it alive to you. And I'll read the whole of the psalm. The pure words of the Lord is the heading in this. Help, O Lord, for the godly are fast disappearing. The faithful have vanished from the earth. Neighbours lie to each other, speaking with flattering lips and insincere hearts. Sounds a bit like today, doesn't it? May the Lord bring their flattery to an end and silence their proud tongues. They say we will lie to our hearts' content. Our lips are our own. Who can stop us? The Lord replies, I have seen violence done to the helpless, and I have heard the groans of the poor. Now I will rise up to rescue them, as they have longed for me to do. The Lord's promises are pure, like silver refined in a furnace, purified seven times over. Therefore, Lord, we know you will protect the oppressed, preserving them forever from this lying generation, even though the wicked strut about and evil is praised throughout the land. You know, this could have been written in this century, couldn't it? When you hear those words. And so, as I say, we believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, which literally, from the Greek, I understand, I'm not a Greek scholar, but it means God breathed. It's the word of God. Why do we Gideons spend so much time, money and effort in the promotion of the scriptures? Well, obviously, we love our Bibles as Christians. You know, I've been reading my Bible since I could first read. So that's a few years now. But it's the main reason, I suggest, is that we believe them to be the Word of God. And I've got just some headings, and I haven't got time to be spending a lot of time this morning on this, but what I've done, I've actually done a little précis of what I'm saying. I'd like you to take it away, take one with you. There should be one for every family, certainly, and there's a few, I think I've done about 18 of them, and I've got the headings on and the references, and I'd like you to go away and read these and just remind yourselves again of, you know, how important the Bible is to us, how precious it is, how wonderful. And I've got just some headings with the letter P. I noticed that Nicky Gumbel also used the letter P as well. And the first one that we saw in this psalm in verse 6 was that it's flawless. It's like refined silver. You know, silver is a precious metal, isn't it? And it's, you know, if you... Gold, I suppose, is the standard, or maybe some people might say platinum or what have you. But certainly gold is the good thing. You know, most wedding rings are in gold. I've got a ring on this morning. It's in gold. And so it is. And in this we read that the Lord's promises are pure, like silver, refined in a furnace, purified seven times over. You know, as an apprentice, it was one of my tasks was to melt down the type metal, the type alloy, and you know when he put it into that, I think it was about 600 degrees Fahrenheit. Not sure whether it was Fahrenheit, it probably was Fahrenheit. Very hot, put it that way. And you know, when it all melted down, on the top of that crucible was horrible glue. And, you know, I used to have to take a ladle and take it all off. When I'd taken all that dross off the top, it wasn't thrown away. It was put into a box. And then it was taken away to a more specialist firm where probably it was heated to a higher temperature. And they recouped some more of that lead, tin and antimony alloy from it and made... The bars that we used to then get back and use for the producing the type. But you see, the thing was that when you took all that dross off, if you looked at it first, you'd say, well, who would want to use that? But when you took the dross off, it was all silver, and it was a beautiful finish on it. And, of course, that was just type alloy, but silver is something else, isn't it? And God's word is pure, like silver that's been refined in a furnace. And then we're told that it's perfect. In Psalm 19, we're reminded that the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. This is the law of the Lord, the word of God. And we have it. Nicky Gumbel said about that man, the expression on that man's face of receiving a Bible. You know, we can just go into our local bookshop, can't we? Local Christian bookshop. And the array of scriptures that we've got is amazing. You know, in some of these countries, they haven't got that. And so it is. It's perfect. And reverence for the Lord, in verse 9, goes on to say, for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. You see, this book that we've got is indeed perfect. We, you know, we sometimes use the word perfect. We use words, young people particularly, use words like awesome. When our grandson was there last year, he kept saying, oh, that's awesome, he says, you know. But, you know, something that's awesome is totally, something like the Aurora Borealis, isn't it? You know, when you looked at that, you'd say, well, that is awesome. But, you know, we've got a wonderful book here, and it is awesome. It's perfect, and it's the word of God. And then I hope your Bible is precious to you. Certainly mine is, and I'm sure yours is. And it says again in that psalm that we've just alluded to, Psalm 19, the laws of the Lord are true, and each one is fair. And again, you know, today, fairness is something that is not very common, is it? You know, words like fairness and integrity and honesty and all these things, they're not used that often. It might be used, but they're not used in the true sense of them. But you know, this book is indeed, it's precious. The law of the Lord is true. And it goes on to say they are more desirable, more precious than gold. So we've moved up a step, as it were, from silver now to gold. And this, it's the, even the finest gold, it says. So the law of the Lord, the words of the Lord, are indeed more precious than gold. I wonder, do I think more of that than I do of my gold watch or my gold ring? I do, but, you know, I just ask the question. And it goes on to say, they are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. Now, I don't know whether anybody's ever had honey dripping from the comb. I love honey, but I've certainly never had it dripping from the comb. But, you know, it's pure as time there, I suppose, when it's coming out from the comb. And this is the way the psalmist describes the word of God to us. But then if we move over to Psalm 119, and I was so happy when I realised what that hymn was this morning. It's not a hymn I particularly know. But, you know, very often when we go to schools or we do church presentations, one of the verses that we quote is indeed verse 105 of Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And how true that is, and how often I've used that as an example using my torch when I've been talking in schools. And so it is that in verse 9 of Psalm 119, the psalmist asks the question, how can a young person stay pure? Well, by obeying your word and following its rules. And so our encouragement for going on into the schools, but it's, however, it's not just for young people, it's for all who read the Bible daily. So if we're to try keeping from sinning. And then it's profitable. All scripture is inspired by God, we're told in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. Useful to teach us what is true and make us realise what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out, the NIV says, and teaches us to do what is right. Yes, it goes on to tell us that the word of God, which is God-breathed, as we said, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It's an amazing book, isn't it? The more we get into it, the more we realise that. And why? Well, it's to enable us to do what is right in God's sight. And finally, it's powerful. The word of God, it says in Hebrews 4 verse 12, is full of living power. It's sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. And that's the thing, isn't it? When we look into God's word, and if we've really got open minds, then often we come away and we think, yes, I don't measure up to that. I trust this morning that as you've, as we've spent this time together, thinking about God's word particularly, I trust that you will rejoice in the knowledge, and I trust that something has touched each one of our hearts. Yes, these truths are not specifically for Gideons, they are universal. So I'm looking at that time. It's way gone, isn't it? Yeah. Are we going to sing the last hymn? Or yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, we usually stand around talking anyway, don't we? So it's, so our last hymn is, if I can find my sheet, Tell Out My Soul the Greatness of the Lord.